Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Glenn the Geek here from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for January 19th, 2011, episode 58. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I just heard a crash in the background. The puppies are out of the kitchen. I heard a crash. Chad just went running. This episode is sponsored by Back on Track. Good morning, horse world.
I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery. But I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Jennifer. Hey, Jamie, we're going to go right to Jennifer this morning because she has us jam-packed full of stuff today. She's going to keep us busy. She doesn't want us getting in any trouble at all. So let's just go to Jennifer and find out what's coming up.
Yes, thus far, the keeping you out of trouble is a losing battle. On today's show, it's Vet Central. We have Dr. DeLu with some totally awesome news about communications issues. And then we've got Dr. Joan and Christy from thehorse.com with the Horse Health Report. And we've got Eventing Nation John. How's that relate to vets? Well, I'll tell you. We're going to talk about David O'Connor and whether or not he's going to vet out and become the new USA chef de keep for the eventing team. And I hear you over there giggling.
It's bad pun morning.
Bad pun morning, that's right. You guys never complain about my bad puns. That's my job. And for good measure, I want to do a little tease for tomorrow's show, which is our first ever dog day on Horses in the Morning. We're going to be talking to the star of the popular Animal Planet show. It's Mia the dog, Victoria Stillwell. That's the gal that goes into people's homes with troublemaking dogs and gets them fixed, not because the dogs are an issue, but because the people are. And I'm letting you all know this today so that you have time to Facebook, tweet, call, email, and otherwise communicate to all of your dog-loving friends who probably have trouble making dogs to listen tomorrow morning because it's going to be a whopper of a show.
Okay, that sounds fun, Jennifer, but you didn't give near the excitement you did yesterday when you booked Victoria Stillwell.
Well,
you were so excited.
Jump up and down on the radio.
She was jumping up and down and clapping, and she was so excited. I have never seen her so excited as she was yesterday about this.
She's my
and
hero.
I was wondering if you booked this in preparation for Jamie meeting her in a couple of months with the new puppies. I was wondering if this was a subtle hint.
Well, yeah, in approximately 90 days, Chad and Jamie will be submitting a DVD to have Victoria come to their home and fix up their troublemaking puppies.
I'm sorry, did you not hear me a minute ago saying that I heard a crash in the background? Why do we have to wait 90 days? I'm going to start filming now.
Well, gather together all of your current issues, and we're going to throw them all Victoria tomorrow.
This show tomorrow is aptly appropriate in timing with Jamie just getting her puppies yesterday.
I know. And, you know, it's funny because I've got, you know, the two puppies, which are, you know, 8 weeks old, and then I have a 14-year-old basset hound, and I don't know which one pees on the floor more, the puppies or the old dog. It's, but you can definitely tell the difference in who's and who's. Poor little girl. She needs a diaper. She needs a, like some Depends or something. She can't make it through the night.
I hope you don't have carpet in that house.
It's all tile, all slate tile. So we couldn't be happier. It was a good farm floor.
It's a darn good thing. Well, we're going to have John from Eventing Nation coming up. Eventing Nation, John, we affectionately call him. And we're going to talk.
I'm excited about that.
I know he's. I know that you are an Eventing Nation fan, eventingnation.com. But first, I wanted to talk to you about something that I have coming up here. I think it's tomorrow. I record a one-on-one with Anna Twiney, who has been on several of our shows, including the Stable Scoop Show and here on Horses in the Morning. And she is a horse trainer and a natural horseman and is very good at it. And she's also an animal communicator. Now, that's where I sort of break off a little bit with Anna, because I'm really a skeptic. I believe there are people who can communicate with animals better than other people who have a natural tendency to be better with animals. I'm not a real big believer that I can call you on the phone and you can, as an animal communicator, tell me what's happening with my horse who is 6,000 miles away that you've never met before. So that's what we're going to talk about. We're doing this one-on-one segment occasionally on Stable Scoop, where Helena or I go one-on-one with a guest and we get really in-depth. And that's what I hope to do with Anna Twiney tomorrow. But I need your help. I would love for you to submit questions. If you have questions, first of all, let me know if you're a believer in animal communication, if you had it done with your horses, and also if you have any questions for her that you'd like to see asked. Because she understands coming into this that I'm not a believer and I'm going to be asking the tough questions. So we're hoping to just hash it out and have a good hour about animal communication. If you'd like to submit a question or tell me your opinions on it, you can do it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, or you can just send me an email at glenn2ns@horseradionetwork.com, and you can be anonymous if you want to be. So I'd just love to get your help about that. Have you ever had that, Jamie, with any of your animals or horses or anything?
You know, we did a segment on one of the top 40 radio stations, and a woman called in, and she was on the phone with us, and I was in the studio, and I said, I have a horse. And she goes, oh, okay, what's his name? And I said, his name is Marche. And she goes, okay, you know, he really doesn't like circles. He doesn't like going in circles. And I said, well, what do you want me to do, take him down 285, you know? You want to just ride him down the freeway? I have to circle. You have to turn. So that was the only thing she told me about my horse, was that he didn't like to circle. I think I was definitely a skeptic at that time. I think that now I'm a little bit older, and I think that I have a deeper connection with my horses now, and I feel like I know them a little bit better, and I know the history of my horses. So I would love to have an animal communicator talk to my horses, because I really probably could tell you whether they were right or wrong. That's how I feel anyway.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because don't you think that most horses hate going in circles after a period of time?
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Like that, I'm like, you're not telling me anything new. No horse is like circling. He's a dressage horse, you know. He's going to do circles. We have to. But I think I would really like it now. I think I would be excited to talk to somebody like that and see what they had to say.
Well, it'll be interesting. We'll find out, and this show will come out next week on the Stable Scoop Show. But I would love to hear from our listeners and find out whether they're believers or not, and also if they have any questions that they'd like me to ask. I would really love that. Well, there's something else I had to bring up today. I found, you know, that we used to own an acting company, and we used to do medieval feasts, so I was really into the medieval stuff. I love castles. I love suits of armor. I love all that kind of stuff. Well,
yes.
If you scroll down on your show notes page there, you're going to see a property that I found this morning while perusing through the news. I found a castle for sale, and it's affordable. It's not even really expensive. There's one big drawback, in my opinion, that I'll go over in a minute, but it's a castle. It's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. It's not huge. It's not overly big, but it's made of concrete blocks. and it has a modern kitchen and four modern bathrooms. The kitchen has a center island and a pantry and stuff. But let me tell you what. Other features of the three-bedroom abode include a mummy. You get your own mummy. Four suits of armor, a recreation room, a bar, and a theater room. And if you go to that link, and I'll post the link on Facebook here, if you go to the link and look at the pictures, you're going to see that the bar is pretty cool because it's surrounded by suits of armor and all this stuff. It's a very interesting little place, and they said there's plenty of room to put a barn and make it into a horse farm because it's actually 28 acres, and it's only $449,000.
58 acres.
Oh, that's even better. Yeah. And it's only
I think it's fantastic, Glenn. I think if you want to live in sunny, beautiful Toronto, Canada,
that's
this
the problem.
Is a place for you.
That's the slight issue. Might be a good summer home. But apparently it was used in a couple of films. They shot on location for The Music Man, Ice Princess, The History of Violence, which I can say I haven't seen that one.
I have.
And did you?
Yes, that's the Viggo Mortensen, A History of Violence, where he's like some small-town family man, and then all of a sudden these bad people come in, and they're like, hey, we want you to come back to work for us, and then he just kills everybody. I wonder where this was in the movie.
It says here where it was a fictional town in Indiana.
Well, that's probably where he lived. That was the small town. He was a small-town guy. Woo, love it. It was awesome. Scary.
So that's my latest pick for Jennifer to peruse then and check out.
I love it. You know what's funny, Glenn, is that I haven't seen The Ice Princess. I don't even know what that is, and you don't know what The History of Violence is. We need to really get together on our movie watching.
Yeah, yeah.
I
know what The Music Man is. I kind of know what that one is.
Like, I kind of know. Not really, though.
All right, so I posted that up there on Facebook so people can check out the castle that I was liking so much. And
so the one in Versailles doesn't do it for you?
Yeah, we have one here locally in right outside of Lexington and Versailles, and it's a very big castle, but it is for sale, I hear, but it's $30 million. So, you know, $449,000, $30
million. $30 million?
$30 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that was that much. I remember living in Lexington and driving by that thing all the time and just staring at it because I thought it was amazing, but apparently the neighborhood was not happy about it.
No, they weren't. There wasn't anybody in Lexington that was happy about the castle except for me going, yeah, it's a cool castle. And I did get a tour of it, and it is really, really cool inside. It's much, much bigger than the one we're showing here, but it is really cool inside. And you know, $449,000 in Toronto or $30 million in Lexington. That's true.
I hear Jennifer laughing at you. That's never going to happen, dude.
When I first came down here to Kentucky, before we moved here, I came down ahead of Glenn, took the grand tour, decided whether or not I wanted to take a job down here. The only picture I took with my telephone and emailed back to Glenn, all of Lexington and its glory, was the picture of the castle. Because I knew that's the one he would like that. No pictures of Windstar, no pictures of Keeneland, the castle.
He didn't care about any of that.
No.
He just wanted the castle.
That's right.
Great.
I just wanted to live near a castle.
All right. Well, we have our first guest on the line, you guys, and I'm so excited because I am the hugest fan of a website called Eventing Nation, and it's a blog, and Samantha writes for it, Samantha Clark from the 2010 show, and I read this thing probably 2 to 3 times a day just because it's constant news and exciting stuff on eventing, but it's also a bunch of different stuff about just random news facts. I mean, right now, there's an article that they've posted, are horses or humans fatter? And apparently, horses are fatter than humans, so this is the kind of information that you find on eventingnation.com, and I am so excited to talk to you. John, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jamie and Glenn. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure, and I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, we are fantastic. I'm so glad to talk to you finally because I read your blog nonstop, as I was just saying, and your information is Where do you get these random news facts?
Well, we have a lot of great readers who kind of send, you know, every once in a while articles in. Otherwise, we kind of just, you know, spend a lot of time online and checking stuff out. Google's great. We love Google.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of try to, you know, keep our eyes open throughout the day for just anything that's kind of interesting or, you know, our readers might be interested in.
Yeah, so it doesn't even have to be about eventing. I mean, this is just an entertaining blog for everybody to read. But you are the guy that breaks the news. I mean, I don't know. Do people just call you on the sly and say, hey, John, I'm thinking about, you know, retiring, or I'm thinking about applying for the U.S. eventing team coach position? What is the deal?
Again, it kind of comes from a lot of different places. You know, yeah, every once in a while we will just get a call or a text. You know, I'm kind of fortunate enough to, you know, I know a lot of, you know, people in the sport and just kind of, you know, they kind of understand what Eventing Nation's all about, which is kind of informing our readers in a fun way. You know, and they kind of know that we'll present the news in a really, you know, a good, fair, and again, kind of, you know, hopefully entertaining light. You know, but yeah, sometimes it is just people will call. Sometimes, you know, I'll be keeping an eye on the story. Like, of course, it's, you know, the U.S. coaching search is something that, you know, we know has been going on. And so, you know, I'm always, whenever I'm talking to somebody, you know, I'm kind of, you know, I'll kind of pick their brain and say, you know, hey, you know, kind of, who do you think, who have you heard? And then, you know, if a couple people mention somebody, then, you know, I'll look into it more and, you know, probably call that person and see what they have to say. And, you know, you kind of just work, you know, and try to learn things, you know, along the way and kind of piece things together. So,
you're like the TMZ. You're like the TMZ of the horse world.
Well, in a sense, yeah, we try to, you know, we try to keep things a little cleaner, you know, a little bit more positive than it's like TMZ, but, you know, in the sense that we, you know, we try to know what's going on, you know, I think there's some similarities there, yeah.
So I guess the reason that, you know, we're having you on, besides just me being so excited about your website, is talk to us about what is going on with this coaching deal. You know, first we had a couple people put in, and now David's in, and now Karen's just bailing on the team. I don't understand. Talk to us about it.
Yeah, well, it got a lot more exciting yesterday, didn't it? You know, we learned a couple months ago, well, actually earlier in the, you know, I think the spring or summer of 2010, that, you know, we heard that the current U.S. eventing team coach, Mark Phillips, is going to be retiring after the London Olympics, which are, of course, in 2012. And so the question now is who's going to replace him and lead the United States eventing team. And so they have this kind of application process where the applications are due by January 31st. And so we've just kind of been keeping an eye on Eventing Nation on who's applying and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, what applicants are they going to be and then kind of analyzing what applicants, you know, are going to bring to the table. And so a couple, well, I guess about 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago, a current U.S. rider, really, really super talented, two-time Olympic gold medalist, Philip Dutton, put his name in to be a coach, and it was a joint application along with Bobby Costello, who's a top rider, former rider for the U.S. team, a true statesman in eventing. They put together a combined application where Philip is going to handle more of the technical coaching aspects of things, and Bobby is going to handle more of the organizational aspects of things. And so they kind of presented their view of what they think that the, you know, the direction of the U.S. eventing team should be. But really, for a week or so, they were the only applicants, in, you know, in the process. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, of course, David O'Connor, who, I mean, you know, we could sit here and talk about David's accomplishments for an hour and a half, but he's the, you know, the current USDF president. He won the individual Olympic gold medal at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney. He has a top coaching program along with his wife, Karen. He's the coach of the Canadian team. He led them to silver medal, you know, as a team at the World Equestrian Games, of course, in October. You know, they were kind of a dark horse that really, I think a lot of people, you know, maybe didn't expect a medal, but they did really, really well. And so, you know, David kind of brings all these other things, you know, this experience to the table. And so he, you know, basically, well, you know, we wrote that he was going to be applying yesterday. And so, you know, all these applications are going to be, you know, put in by January 31st. But now at least we have kind of two applicants that we know are going to be applying. So we can kind of talk about them and kind of compare them and look at them. So, you know, that's kind of where it is now.
It's now, I mean, granted, you can talk all day about Philip Dutton. You can talk all day about David O'Connor, you know, Bobby.
Right.
But if Philip is the coach, Philip doesn't ride. If David is the coach, Karen doesn't ride. Yeah. What is how can we how can we win here?
Well,
huh?
You know, we win because we get either Philip or David coaching us. So, you know, it's you know, there's really no way to get around the fact that, right, if Philip starts coaching, then, you know, obviously he couldn't ride. You know, there'd be a conflict of interest. And I do believe that Philip is going to continue to ride. I think, you know, he was on the Eventing radio show and said that he was going to continue to ride at national competitions, but just not compete internationally for the United States. And so, but right, we lose him as a potential rider for the U.S. team, which, you know, as far as I'm concerned, as long as Philip is a candidate for the U.S. team, he's going to be making the team, you know, because he's such a fabulous rider, and has, you know, always a great string of horses, you know, and then on the other hand, right, if David gets the job to avoid the conflict of interest, his wife, Karen, will no longer be applying to ride for the U.S. team. So, you know, that is bad news for, for U.S. fans, but, you know, I think it's part of, you know, moving forward, you know, and I think that in the end, you know, it's going to be a really good thing for the team if we do have Philip or David or, you know, maybe another potential person coaching the team.
So what are you thinking? What are you feeling? Are we going to get another person or tell us?
I do definitely think that there will be more than two applications sent in. I feel pretty strongly about that. You know, that's certainly what I've been hearing. I don't think that there'll actually be a ton of, you know, applicants. I think that, you know, four or five applications is going to be kind of what you expect to get. You know, I think everybody was kind of shocked at the USEA, the United States Eventing Association annual convention. In December, the USEF search committee gave a presentation. It was kind of an open forum presentation that anybody could attend, and they said, you know, that they didn't have any applicants at the time. And I think everybody was kind of surprised by that. You know, early on in this process, when we heard that Mark Phillips was going to be retiring, you know, you heard all sorts of names being thrown around that were going to apply. And, you know, 5 months ago, I would have thought that 15, you know, people would have ended up applying for the job. But now it looks like it's going to be closer to four or five. And I think the reason for that is just that, you know, when it comes down to it being the U.S. eventing coach, it's an extraordinarily demanding job. It takes a ton of dedication. Somebody's probably not going to do it for the money. It's not bad money, but, you know, it's a lot of traveling. And, you know, it's something that if you want to do it, you know, you're going to have to really, really want to do it. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I think that the USEF would probably rather have five really good applications than, you know, 15 mediocre ones. And I know that, you know, between Philip and Bobby and then now David's application, they're going to have at least two fantastic ones.
Oh, absolutely. Do you think that the team would allow two coaches like they're proposing?
Well, Philip and Bobby, they're not exactly proposing two coaches. They're proposing, you know, Philip to handle the kind of the technical advisor is what they call it role, which would be the more specific coach. So you'd see Philip in the center of the ring at international competitions coaching up the U.S. riders. And then Bobby would be taking over the chef de cuisine position, which is more the organizer of the team, you know, making sure that everybody's in the right place, kind of a leader of the team. So they are two different roles. But I think that a lot of when the USDF is looking at the applications, it's going to come down to a lot about what direction they want to take the team in. So do they want to have this two-person approach, or do they just want to have a one-person approach? And, you know, the good news is now they have choices, you know, because, you know, David's a great, you know, person that they want to go with kind of one coach, one leader for the team. But if they want to have two people involved, you know, in kind of different aspects, with Philip just able to focus on the coaching and Bobby able to focus on the, you know, the organizing, you know, then I think that that's going to be, you know, a really strong application also.
Now, see,
John, I had to go. I had to go.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, Jamie, I had to go take a call here, so I might have missed a little bit of the conversation. You know, are the Canadian team looking at this as an opportunity to, you know, to go on and you know, learn from somebody else, or are they pretty upset that they'll be losing their terrific coach?
Well, you know, I think it's a. This is definitely bad news for the Canadians because David was, you know, was a really phenomenal coach, and I don't know that they're going to really be able to replace him if he does. Now, it's a big if, you know, if he does move on to the U.S. job, because he still has to go through that whole selection process, you know, and actually be, you know, selected for the job. But if David does go to the U.S., I think that that's a setback for the Canadian team. But on the other hand, I know that the Canadian team has been very supportive of David Graham, the chef for Canada, you know, has written a recommendation letter for David. And so I know that they, you know, they're you know, they're super grateful, you know, and appreciative of, you know, David's involvement and, you know, really helping the Canadians out. So I know that, you know, there's not going to be any bad blood there. You know, it's going to be, you know, a very positive kind of transition, but it is a setback for the Canadian team. And, you know, if David does move on to the U.S. job, then, you know, then the next question will be kind of who is going to step up to coach the Canadians. And that I think that's even more wide open than the U.S. job right now. You know, but like I said, you know, that's the big if. You know, there's a lot that has to happen before David, you know, is selected and, you know, comes to the U.S. team. And, you know, and certainly, you know, he's going to get a really, really hard look in the application, but also, you know, Philip and Bobby and, you know, and whoever else might apply.
Well, I think, you know, and he has brought that Canadian team to the point where it's a darn good team now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's done a great job. You know, we most of the Canadian team we've had on our shows before, and, you know, we really like them. So it's, you know, I think that they have a good start, that somebody really could take over that team and bring them even further than they are at this point.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting time for American eventing here very shortly, finding out who's going to end up coaching the team. And as you said in your article, David's dreamed about this. This has been a dream of his. Of course, Karen will have to take that step back and would be on the team, which would mean we'd lose a really good competitor on the team.
Yeah.
So that's a bad thing. But I appreciate you explained this so well. I got to tell you, I really appreciate you stopping by. And if you don't mind, we're gonna as things come up in the eventing world that you're covering, we would love to have you stop by occasionally and help us out here on the morning show. We have such a diverse audience here that are a little bit of everything, and I just think you did a great job explaining the eventing side of things.
Thank you. I love it. Well, I'm such a big fan of the Horse Radio Network, you know, and Horses in the Morning, and you, Glenn, and, of course, Jamie. You know, I love what you're doing. It's such a fun way to kind of hear about horses and kind of learn about what's going on in the, you know, in the horse world. You know, so I'm a big fan. So, you know, thanks for having me, and I'd love to come on anytime.
Well, before you go, I have to mention one thing, because you are an affiliate of ours on another website you do called Ha Ha Horses. And if somebody hasn't gone to Ha Ha Horses, you have to check it out every day. You have to go there. John puts up a different picture, crazy horse picture, and people write captions for it, and it is just funny. And I how's that site going?
It's going really well. I mean, it's been so fun. It's kind of something that I started, you know, kind of as a bit of a spinoff of Eventing Nation, just to kind of, you know, have a fun, you know, non kind of news site, but a way that people could just go every day. To kind of, you know, get a little laugh. And it's been really fun. You know, it's growing. We have a great community of people who write captions. And, you know, it's been really fun for me. You know, I laugh every day when I go to the site and see what people have put up there. You know,
oh,
and,
my gosh. The one today,
you must be looking at today's picture.
The one today is a horse with an afro. And a woman is kissing him, but one of the captions is he's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, hide your kids, hide your wife. Oh, if nobody has seen that on YouTube, just search for Antoine Dodson on YouTube, and
oh,
you will
goodness,
get that
it
joke.
Is the best.
That is fantastic. John, thank you so much for being a part of our show, and, you know, definitely go eventing.
Hey, thank you guys so much. As I said, I'm such a big fan, so I really appreciate it. It's a real pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
Have a great one.
Oh, I'm hooked. I am done for the show. I'm hooked on Ha Ha Horses now. Oh, my gosh. These people are way funnier than I am. You should have tried to get some funny co-hosts on this website.
It is a fun website. He started about 3 months ago, and every day he posts a different picture, and the comments that come in, there's always tons of them. And the cool thing is it's interactive. You can vote on which one that you like the best, and then that one becomes the winner for the day. And he actually gives away some neat prizes over there every day, too. So that's all. It's hahahahahorses.com. And, you know, John's kind of a serious guy. He did a great job there explaining everything, and he's kind of a serious guy, though, so when he started this site, I called him up, and I said, John, this is so unlike you. And he said, well, I just wanted to have a little fun with it. I said, well, it's working. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh, it's hysterical. So that's awesome. And, yeah, if you haven't seen Eventing Nation or Ha Ha Horses, eventingnation.com or HaHaHorses.com and check it out. My gosh, that is a funny, funny caption. The picture's funny, but the caption's the blank we do for Sweet Feed. The beep we do for Sweet Feed. Wearing an afro and a peace sign around his neck. Fantastic. I love it.
I know. It is great. It's good stuff, and he explained that very well. So we'll keep an eye on what's happening with the coaching job here in the United States. It's going to be interesting. There's some very good candidates for that particular job. Well, this half hour is sponsored by Back on Track. Let's take a break for Back on Track, and then we'll be back with our next guest, Dr. DeLu out of California. We're going to be talking about a really cool iPhone application that she has that I know you're going to like, and you probably downloaded it already. And she, you know, normally we talk about vet stories and vet tales with her, but this is really cool. So we're going to talk about that in just a minute. Back on Track products are endorsed by many of the top dressage, eventing, and show jumping riders worldwide. But they are not just for the pros. Any level of rider can benefit from their unique line of therapeutic products for horses, humans, and dogs. Back on Track has some new products available: exercise boots, bell boots, and Western saddle pads. You can find them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Well, we're back on Horses in the Morning by Back on Track today. With Jamie Jennings is here. The two puppies are here. And Jennifer and I are here. And we have next up Dr. DeLu, who is out of California. And she is a regular contributor here to the Horse Radio Network. And good morning, Dr. DeLu. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. Are you awake? Did we get you out of bed?
I am awake, and you got me out of bed, but it's worth it. It's always good to talk to you guys.
That's the problem with the morning show on the East Coast, is it's very early on the West Coast.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, at least now it's like I can see a hint of sun, you know, whereas a couple months ago when I talked to you guys, there was no hope.
That's true. You know, we had originally planned to talk about horse handling do's and don'ts, and then you sent me a little note yesterday, and we decided we'd rather talk about the iPhone app. Is this something that you put together?
My boyfriend and I, we kind of, you know, I'm not a computer person, clearly, but I felt like, I mean, in relating to horse handling even, I felt like there was a need because I would go out to barns, and a lot of times the owners aren't the ones doing the day-to-day, and I'd have instructions, and then there would be this communication kind of lapse in the instructions, like, no, you can't feed them tonight, they're colicky, you know, and so that's sort of how it came about.
Tell everybody what it is.
It's basically just a translator from English to Spanish with any horse words that you can probably come up with and phrases. So, you know, if you want to say, my horse cannot be taken out of its stall today, that may already be there, or you could just type it in and it would translate it to Spanish for you, and then it would just save it. So if you needed to repeat it, it would just be there.
Well, and I know where you guys live. By the way, the application is called Horse Spanish. You can look it up. It's an iPhone app, and it's called Horse Spanish. And I did that this morning, and I have it here, and it's really cool. It's, you know, you've done a great job. You've broken down. You actually have categories: anatomy, ailments, treatments, classifications, feeding, stable management, tack. So you have different categories with different words in it that you can look up, and then it translates it to Spanish. But I know where you live in California, where Jamie lives in Arizona, this is a huge issue.
Yeah, it really is, especially if a horse is sick. I mean, that's where it's like, no, this horse cannot have alfalfa hay. You know, little things like that are just really key for keeping them healthy. And I've had so many communication barriers that, I mean, I wanted it for myself because I speak enough Spanish to get by. But when it comes to, you know, details, I need a translator.
I totally understand where you're coming from. I mean, so many times I'm like, okay, no compostal, like trying to remember what is the word for alfalfa hay. We know the word hay, but alfalfa hay is different, and a horse with laminitis can't have the alfalfa, you know. And so you're trying to explain it to them, and you know, a lot of times the handlers just don't get it. And every once in a while you come across an English-speaking one that can translate for you. But this is just a tool to help you all the time. And I have to tell you that I think the iPhone app is fantastic. It's all horse terms. Everything is there. But some of us might not have the iPhone 4, just the iPhone 3.
I know.
What the heck? So I can't. Glenn, I tried to download it, but it's only
iPhone 4. You can get it on the iPhone 3. You just have to go when you sync your iPhone 3. You just have to... what is the word? Basically, you update it, and then you can have it on.
Oh,
iPhone
so she
3.
Needs the new updated. Have you done the latest update there, Jamie, to the new operating system?
I synced my phone this morning, and it didn't give me that choice. Maybe it'll.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't come up like it's there. The choice is there, but it doesn't like pop up on your screen. Like, would you like to do an update? Sort of like iTunes does. It's not one of these like in your face updates, but it's there when you sync it, and then you can update it to the newest operating system. So yeah, unfortunately, it's not on the Android, but it is on the iPhone 3 and 4. If you update it, like whatever word came up when you tried to download it. That's the word you're looking for on your screen, and it's there when you think it.
Okay, gotcha. I was kind of mad. I was like, oh, stupid iPhone 4 people. They get everything. And, like, us iPhone 3 people just have to sit in the corner.
pretty soon you'll have your upgrade, right?
I think I have, like, another 6 months before I'm allowed to go buy a new phone. And you know, the iPhone 4 is definitely in the works, but, you know. Kind of one of those things you go, do I
okay,
really
the impressive
just,
part of this conversation is Dr. DeLue, who came on and said, I really don't know much about technology, is helping Jamie with her iPhone.
I love it. I love it, Dr. DeLue. I think this is great. I wish you guys the best of luck. You know, we talk about another iPhone app for horses, too, called Pocket Stable, where you basically download all your veterinary information and farrier and vaccines and deworming and horseshoeing and all that into your iPhone, and it basically keeps a track of where and when and who's due for what. And so this is just going to add to my equestrian iPhone applications. I love it.
Perfect. Well, thanks for looking at it, you guys.
Is it $25, Dr. DeLue?
Oh, gosh. No. I think, you know, since it just came out, I think, like, net profit is, like, you know, well, there is no profit really yet, but I think we've sold 4 or something because it really just came out. But it's only $1.99.
That's cheaper than
a book.
Right. That's true. It's cheaper than a cup of coffee at the Starbucks, is for sure.
I know.
Definitely.
I know. When you put it in perspective, it's like the change in your wallet. So.
It's not going to help you with the caffeine side of things, though. That you're still going to need to get the cup of coffee. So,
very true.
And I think Dr. DeLue is going to need a cup of coffee very shortly. So this is great. It's called Horse Spanish, an iPhone application. You can find it. I just did a search, actually, Horse Spanish iPhone app, and it brings you right to the page that you need to do. And I did it. It also works on the iPod Touch. I was able to download it onto my iPod Touch, and it works fine there. And it's very attractive. It's easy to do. You can search for phrases. I like the fact that you have phrases in there, like where is my barn, who is in charge here, things like that. And I could tell that these were phrases that you would need being a veterinarian as you're trying, like who is in charge here.
Dr. DeLue, when there's a phrase in there, did you guys get tempted at all to put maybe one or two incorrect things? Like it, who's in charge here, it's like, take me to your leader is what the translation
right,
would be.
Right. No,
like
well,
that.
It's funny because once you type in any phrase that you want, it'll just sort of keep it for you. And so mine has like just funny things that have nothing to do with horses that I just was curious about, you know?
like cuss words? Do you have customers?
Like, is it time to go surfing yet?
You know, we have a friend that worked at a track for a long time, and she doesn't know many foreign languages. But after having worked at the backside of a track for a long time, she knows every swear word in about 25 languages.
It's an international place.
It's the one thing they learn on the backside of track. Well, this is great, Dr. Zulu. Good luck with it. We will definitely, you know, promote this for you. I think it's a terrific application. And, you know, it doesn't matter where you live in the country, you're running into this problem. So way to go, putting it together to help solve a problem. Terrific.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Thanks, guys.
All right. You have a great day, Dr. Zulu. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye.
I think she's going to go for her Starbucks now. She sounded pretty sleepy.
That's the problem. I'm telling you, is this whole being on the West Coast, when you decided to do a morning show at 9 a.m., you pretty much should book guests from the East Coast. I think I'm the only person awake on this side of the country by the time we start this show.
And, you know, technically, if we were doing, you know, mainstream radio, if we were doing a morning show, 9 a.m. is past morning. What do they call that block? Really, morning show is from 5 to 9, and then there's a 9 to noon block. I don't know what they call that in radio,
midday.
But
they call that middays. Middays.
Yeah, well, we'd be midday already, and you're complaining about getting up. You're lucky we didn't start this at 6, and you'd have to be up at 3.
You know what? You know what would happen if you started this show at 3? You'd have a different co-host. So don't get any ideas.
You're getting up for the puppies anyway at 3, so what the heck? You can just hang around and do a show.
Sure, why not? Might as well. They won't be puppies forever, though.
All right, well, let's take a break for our song today. We have Templeton Thompson. This is a new one, actually. We haven't played on the show yet. It's called Wishing You Wings, and we'll be back with the Horse Health Report with Christy and the gang today, talking about travel.
All the good luck in this mind.
And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. And this episode is brought to you by Back on Track. And listening to a little Templeton Thompson, man, she has the prettiest voice ever. But anyway, just want to thank you guys for listening. We just talked to Eventing Nation John is fantastic. What a good amount of information. So if any of you guys are interested in learning about the United States team and the coaches and all that, and you missed the beginning part of the show, go back and listen to Eventing Nation John from eventingnation.com. And also we just had Dr. DeLu. And just go to Horse Spanish and on your iPhone, and you can download an app that will tell you everything you need to know. But we wanted to let you guys know that, you know, there's some voting to be done, Glenn.
That's correct. We have the social media awards still going on, and we would love for you, if you like Horses in the Morning, to stop over and vote for us. We're in the newbie category. I think it's the last category on the page during the voting, and I'll post on our Facebook page a link to it as well. And then a lot of our friends are on there, too. You'll find a lot of our sponsors and some of our friends in the horse industry are there, but you can vote in all different categories. I think it's like 14 different categories. So definitely stop over there. We'd love for you to vote for us. And then the other thing, I just looked. We are 75 away from the number of people that like us on Facebook, our number of fans. We are 75 away from the Dressage Radio Show here on the Horse Radio Network. We are 100 away from the Western Radio Show. I think we can take the lead here by the end of the week.
Ooh, that's a big challenge, my friend. That's a big one. Because they've been talking trash with each other for so long that it would be nice to just silence everybody. And so if you are on Facebook and you didn't go to our page and click that you liked us, because we want you to like us please, just like us so we can then beat out the Western Show and the Dressage Show. It'd be awesome.
Yes, it would be. I think it would be terrific if we could do that. And the day we beat each one of them, we're calling them up. We're going to make sure that we rub it in, because, you know, we've been the quiet, we've been the little rookie show over here, that, you know, the rookie show on the network, that, you know, we're brand new. So I think it's terrific. We've gained so many listeners in the last couple of weeks, and so many fans that, and we have fans all around the world, we're finding out. We just had another posting that yesterday, I'm looking for it here if I can find it. Somebody posted on Facebook that they had a friend that listened in Germany to the Hottest Horseman episode. So I guess it doesn't matter where you live, hot men or hot men.
That's still, I think, our most popular episode. The Hottest Horseman and the Zenyatta episodes, I think, are the most downloaded. And I don't blame anybody. I really don't. Go ahead, listen to the Hottest Horseman. I have like 3 or 4 times. Might as well.
And you know what? Yesterday was so much fun. If you didn't get to hear yesterday's show, go back and listen to the recorded version at horsesinthemorning.com. It was so much fun, the special Zenyatta day. It was great. I just had a blast. I just got off that after doing that show and said, oh, I really liked today. It was, you know, having Frankie on and the MIG on and them two talking to each other. We didn't plan that, actually. We were going to have them on separately, and we just decided to hold Frankie over, and I'm so glad we did.
Yeah, it turns out they knew each other from back in the 80s days of racing. And, I mean, it doesn't get more fun and entertaining than two guys talking to each other named Frankie and the MIG. I'm Frankie and I'm the MIG. It's like, how backtrack is that? I mean, it's backside of the racetrack talking to Frankie and the MIG. So I thought it was fantastic. My mom actually called me after yesterday's show, and she's like, those guys are so nice. They're so sweet. I was like, that's what you got from that. No. They were great. They were fantastic. And they were informative, talking about Zenyatta and Horse of the Year and the different jockeys that won and the Bug Boys and just the whole racing world, I think. It's fascinating.
I didn't know that whole bug thing. You picked up on that sooner than I did, and I didn't realize what that meant. So, you know, I definitely learned something yesterday. I'm not really good at reading the racing program thing that you read, and you're supposed to know who won what when. I'm not so good at that whole program. Jennifer can read it a little bit, but I always get confused as to what was the quarter this and the eighth that. So pretty much I just go by name. I just look at the names and go, that's a fun name. Let's pick that one. So that's how
yeah,
I get.
And you probably don't win very much at all. And when I go to the track, you know, every once in a while when I come to Kentucky or something, I'll go to Keeneland and I go down to the paddock. And I'm like, I'm a master of horse flesh. I can tell you a winner. And so I look through them. And the problem is that I find that I don't pick the ones that look like they could run the fastest. I pick the ones that look like the best dressage or eventing prospects.
You pick the pretty ones.
I pick the pretty ones. And the reason that they make good eventing prospects is because they can't run that fast. Or they
That's
make
right.
good dressage prospects. Because they don't run fast, and they come in dead last every time. So if I'm choosing, don't go with what I bet. You will lose.
Hey, I actually won a trifecta once. I did. I won a trifecta once, and unfortunately it was all the favorites and paid like $89. You know, I was so excited when I won my first trifecta ever, and that's my last trifecta ever. But I had won. I was so excited. I was jumping up and down, and then it paid $89. I'm like, darn.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you see, and if you remember that YouTube video, my wife knows everything versus my
yes.
wife doesn't
yes.
know? I would yes. have totally won that race because I would have bet on both of those horses. Without a doubt. So every once in a while, something will pop up that you just can't not bet on a name. But we'll see. I'm pretty bad at the track, so hopefully. Maybe I've learned enough on this show to pick a good winner. Yeah, no, it's not so much.
No, I doubt it.
No. I can help you out, though, Jamie. Any horse that I say bet on that one, do not bet on that one because I
yes.
invariably pick the loser. So by process of elimination, you get all your bad betting friends to choose theirs first, and then you pick a different one.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I'm the same way as you. Well, you guys, we have our next guest on the line. Jennifer, this is great. Thank you so much for working so hard behind the scenes and getting everybody all together. We've got Christy with the Horse Health Report and also Dr. Jones on the line. So we want to say good morning to them, and they're going to talk today about travel tips. And this is not like I'm going to the Bahamas, you know, pack your sunscreen travel tips. This is travel tips. Wear your black socks and sandals, Glenn. We're going traveling. Get your metal detector. No, this is actually traveling with your horses. So good morning, Christy. Good morning, Dr. Jones.
Good morning. Good
morning. How are you doing?
We're doing fantastic.
Hey,
you know,
hey guys, before you get started, hold on. Before they get started, I'm looking at the schedule of what you're talking about today, and it looks like I can eat lunch today safely.
I thought maybe you might take us to the Bahamas or something, you know?
Well, that sounds good.
Well, that's why we picked this topic.
Yeah,
no,
it's very safe. I don't have to get ill listening to you guys talking this morning. This is good. I'm glad you took that to heart last week, and we're coming back with something nice and clean and no blood.
You mean, Glenn,
well,
are you talking about when we were
over there?
Yeah, we were talking about tearing eyeballs and ripping eyelids
yeah.
and fixing
yeah.
eye injuries. We could keep going. I mean, I could recap.
You know, Glenn, a horse husband really should have a stronger stomach.
Yeah.
Why
really
I'm a horse
should.
Husband, because we can run away when those things come up. It's just like, nope, that's beyond me. That's not my contract. I didn't say that in the vows.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. And
I'm
hey,
pretty good.
This topic,
I will say this.
Oh, sorry.
I am pretty good with slow bleeding, spurting blood. Forget it. I'm out of there. I'm going.
Fair enough. That's when Aaron comes in.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, before we get into our topic, I did want to say I was listening to the discussion of betting a little bit earlier, and I will say that I am also a terrible bettor, so I'm kind of in line with Jennifer's comment of ask me what I'm going to pick and then pick something else. But we did have a research director at the Blood Horse who had a very good and very easy recommendation for picking the right horses. He said, just bet your house numbers and box a trifecta. I did that one time. Well, actually, I had a friend place a bet who was going up to the window who bet those numbers but did not box the trifecta, and that sucker would have come in big.
Oh.
We bet your house numbers?
Bet your house numbers.
What's that
like my house number
address?
At the time was 2921, so I picked 1, 2, and 9, and it didn't get boxed, but if it had, I would have won a lot of money.
Ah,
so,
got it.
Oh, my God.
Be
brilliant.
Wow.
completely random.
That's the best way to do it.
I'm going to try that next time I go, see what happens.
Do it. It's easy. Okay, so we wanted to talk about traveling with your horses because as the winter show circuit's in pretty full swing and there's lots of people traveling to and within warmer climates. And first of all, I thought it'd be fun to ask you guys, how often do you trailer your horses?
I trailer my horses probably, well, before I lived in an equestrian community, I probably traveled once every week or two. Now I just ride them everywhere, but I think probably at least still once every 6 weeks or so.
Cool.
Jennifer?
Yeah, we don't travel with our horse very much. He pretty much just stays at the farm. Our days of showing are over. And
he's a homebody.
He's a homebody now. We don't travel very much. And I'm not missing it a whole lot.
And why aren't you missing it? I'm just curious.
Just because we used to have to get up at like 2 in the morning to leave at 3 to go to the shows when we lived in Pennsylvania because all the events were in Maryland or some 4 or 5 hour drive, and you always had to get up and get the horses ready. And it was always that long drive, and as horse husbands, we usually end up doing some of the driving, but mostly I'd do some of the sleeping. But it was always such a chore to do.
You know what Glenn's worst part was?
Poo.
He won't admit this. The first part he hated worst wasn't the leaving early in the morning. It was getting back at 7 o'clock at night and having to take care of the 15 horses that stayed home that day.
That was the part that Glenn doesn't miss.
I can understand that. But, no, once competition season kicks back in here, I'll be trailering all the time. So I definitely refresh our memories on what we need to be doing.
For sure. And the main reason I asked, we had a poll on thehorse.com, and we had 38% of our readers traveling a few times a year, and actually over 20% of them traveling every week, and only 9% were in the never category. So I just thought that was interesting. But
yeah.
We'll start with some general preparation tips. Aaron and I talked a little bit yesterday about preparing for the trip, consider the length of the trip, and what you're going to need to take with you. And Aaron, can you tell us a little bit about some of that paperwork type stuff?
As far as the paperwork goes, you always have to have your coggins with you. That's one thing people forget. And what I recommend is that people make copies of their coggins, or if they have the luxury of the online digital coggins, you submit your email address to your veterinarian. They put your email address in there, and you can download as many copies as you want of that digital coggins. And I would put all the copies in your truck, in your packs, and some at home in a safekeeping place. But coggins is the number one. Check on health certificate. Oh, with the coggins, you need to make sure that the show and or the state, you are within the amount of time. I know Michigan requires within 6 months coggins for their shows, and some of the other states, Oklahoma used to. I'm not sure if they do right now since I'm so far east. I don't deal with Oklahoma anymore. So that kind of thing, you need to make sure that your coggins is well in the time, and then a health certificate is possibly a necessary item for some of the state fairs. They require a health certificate if your coggins is from out of the state, even though you live in the state, but you moved there recently. It looks like you came across the state line. They're going to want a health certificate to go to a state fair or a health certificate to cross the state line.
And insurance card, too, right?
Insurance card, yes.
Yeah,
definitely a great idea to have it because you never know when accidents will arise, and then you've got it right there handy to make the phone call. Let the veterinarians know that you're going to, you know, have the insurance company be calling them or sending a note to them.
Very good. We also talked a little bit about planning your trip, as in your route, researching vets in the area in case you need anything, requirements for places that you're going to, for example.
Yeah, all the AAP members are automatically on the 1-800 get a DVM, and that's a really easy thing to remember. You can use that number. They'll tell you what veterinarians are in your area, wherever you've landed, unfortunately, for some unfortunate problem. Hopefully the local sheriffs, if you were in a truck accident, the local sheriffs would have somebody that they know that they readily use to come out for the accident, that kind of thing. So also, I have always told my clients, if they're going anywhere, let me know. And I can tell them of my colleagues that I know along the way or hospitals I know of along the way that they could have in their back pocket in case they get into a predicament.
Very good. And we discussed planning your route a little bit as far as whether you're going to need to stop at any ag stations, maybe what might be your better route options in terms of toll roads versus, lots of stop and go with a million stop signs on the back roads. timing your trip, you know, maybe avoiding rush hour, things like that?
That's a definite must, avoiding the rush hour. And I'm sure Glenn might have some comments about that if he crossed a couple states to go to events. But the rush hour deal is something you really want to avoid, because the longer your horse stands in a trailer with traffic going by or horns honking or emergency vehicles going by, their heart rate goes up, the more stress they get. You have tendency for ulcers, gastric ulcers, those kind of things. The starting and stopping of a trailer increases a horse's heart rate. There was a study done at the University of Illinois Veterinary School that studied, they put cardiac monitors on the horses. They took them cross-country and checked them. They also checked them for ulcers, and yes, they did get ulcers. Most of them did. But the starting and stopping tended to make their heart rate go up more than taking a full highway thoroughfare, open road type thing. It didn't even matter if you did turns and such on that. If it was a back road that didn't have any stop signs on it and it was a safe back road, that would be a better choice than the starting and stopping through town kind of thing.
I know it makes my blood pressure go up. Yeah, I can see why that would be. So, you know, we used to go to Fairhill. And we used to have to drive to Fairhill, which was a couple-hour drive from where we lived in Pennsylvania. And we had to go on Route 30. Well, Route 30 through Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is one of those roads where you're just starting and stopping the whole time. And if it's in tourist season, everybody coming to see the Amish, it was absolutely awful some days. So I can absolutely see my blood pressure went up, and you just know the horses were.
And funny thing, too, Glenn, and you may not have thought about doing this to the horses, and if you had a slant load or a straight load, it may not be possible unless you took the partitions out. But if you let the horses free, they'll turn around and face backwards, and they are a little less stressed facing that way. Their heart rates went down. They were happier to ride that way. So maybe you might be happier to ride if you face backwards, too, while you're driving. Oh, no, that wouldn't be a good idea. Maybe while you're riding.
I think I've done that some days, actually.
He's so good. He's got eyes in the back of his head. Okay, so that's good on preparing for the trip. Let's talk a little bit about preparing your horse for the trip. And the first thing on my list is something that probably a whole bunch of us have stories about, is does your horse load well?
Oh,
practicing ahead of time.
Oh, Lord.
My story is real short. My horse that I got when I was in high school, I had gone to see the horse, but didn't know that my parents were going to be nice enough to get this horse for me for Christmas, and which was awesome. But this horse showed up at the barn, so this was great. First time I tried to take her to a show, she did not get to go because we could not get her in the trailer, no matter what we
tried.
Wow. So.
Yeah. So you never made it to the show?
Did not make it to that show, no. So that was okay.
Oh,
we just had to wait and do a lot of practicing ahead of time, which was something that I wanted to bring up. She had this thing about whipping her head back out of the trailer like she thought something was about to grab onto her nose. And I was afraid she was going to hit her head and hurt it really badly. So she was just terrified. She wasn't just being bad. She was scared. And I have no idea what happened to her. You know, she had come from a farm that had been foreclosed and bounced around a couple of places and lost a little weight before she got to me. So I have no idea what her history was, but I just spent about 6 weeks feeding her dinner in the trailer, making her stick her head in, you know, progressively further inside the trailer to eat her dinner, and she just gradually had to learn that the trailer was not going to eat her. And she became a really good loading horse, but it took a little while. And that's just something that I was hoping Aaron could talk about a little bit, is practicing with your horse in the trailer ahead of time.
I have an added comment to that. I just recently had a client that purchased a horse in Arizona, had shown all up and down the east, the west coast, in dressage, all the way up to intermediate. So, you know, he had to cinch quite a bit. Purchased this horse almost sight unseen because they did by video and x-rays being emailed. Everything's telemedicine anymore and telebuying. And the horse arrived via commercial hauler, and they went to the first show about a month later, and the horse did not get on the trailer. They wondered how the heck this horse ever went to shows all up and down the West Coast. They could not get on the trailer to save their life. So, of course, that horse did not make it to that show. But it could be the type of trailer that they trailered used. They might have only used commercial, or maybe had a completely wide-open type stock trailer, or slant load was better than the straight load. So it just depends on the trailer, too. So ramps are always better than step-ups. Horses seem to step up on ramps, even though they make that thud sound when they put their foot down the first time, but they seem to be more accepting of the ramps than they do the step-ups.
Well,
I'll tell you what, too.
I learned.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Glenn, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, you never have more friends when you're trying to, than when you're having trouble loading a horse. Everybody comes over and wants to help. Everybody seems to be an expert when you're having trouble loading your horse.
Absolutely. Yes. And my other two cents as a veterinarian on that, it'd be always good to train your horse to load, even though you're not going anywhere, in case you have to go to the hospital.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I was just going to tell you that I was 16 years old and going to a horse show and was loading my horse. And this is the day that I learned what they call patience, because I lost my patience. And you can't lose your patience loading a horse. But I broke off the biggest branch I could find, and I walked up to my horse, and I was like, you are going to get in that trailer. And my mom was standing in the trailer pulling, and I broke off the biggest branch from the pine tree, and I walloped him, and he just walloped me back. Broke every one of my ribs on the right side of my chest. Ooh. I went flying. My dad's like, I'm getting my gun, and I'm going to shoot that horse.
Oh,
and here's me, you know, in the fetal position going, don't shoot my horse, Daddy. Don't shoot my horse. So it's totally one of, like, he's John Wayne in some Western. He's going to shoot the horse, you know, and I'm screaming, no, Daddy, no. But the horse, we then took the trailer back because it was a new one and just bought a bigger one, and he was fine.
Exactly. That's a good moral of the story, is change the trailer or change the ramp or change something. Yeah.
Change the driver.
Yeah. Change the little girl hitting her horse with a stick in the butt. Why would you hit a horse with a stick in the butt standing right behind him? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I got it.
When everywhere he wants to go is backwards already, away from the trailer. Awesome. Well, we'd also like to talk a little bit about preparing the horse for the trip in terms of physically preparing him, like wrapping his legs. Should you wrap or not wrap, and what types of wraps or boots would you recommend, Erin?
I'm kind of curious if those on the horn right now do wrap or don't, and when they used to go places like Fair Hill and such.
I was a diehard wrapper, and I'm sorry, you're wearing real bandages, honey. None of this boots crap. I was real old school.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody had four legs on, a tail on, and a head on.
Oh, I love to hear head, because I'm just thinking about Christy's horse, who went up and backwards, up and backwards. Pole protector, I don't know how many lacerations at a show, going to a show, that I've had a suture up between the ears because they popped their head on the trailer as they're trying to get the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so easy for them to go, pink. And, yeah. So I was real diehard, and my students did not like me for it. I got a lot of grief, because you get to the show and everybody would be strolling off with their really pretty Velcroed on custom colored shipping boots. And early on, I had a bad experience where the horse took the boot off. I mean, the boot got a little shifted, freaked the horse out, took the boot off, horse hurt himself, and it made an impression. And yes, many, many, many people use boots very successfully, but I was a diehard. Yeah.
And I don't see any reason, if there's room underneath it, and really there shouldn't be room underneath it, to put a wrap on the leg and put a boot over. I'm big on boots and wraps, and whichever one you're comfortable with, I say do, as long as they stay on, and that's the key. The amount of trailer accidents I've seen in my lifetime, I can't even count on both hands, and you don't even want to know how bad they were. I mean, down to the joint, and there were just simple lacerations right across the hock, you know, and the wraps don't always go up that high, but the boots do. No wraps on at all. A horse got its foot caught underneath the partition, took the foot back, and we call it an ice bag fracture, because it sounds like ice in a bag. It shakes, you know,
ew,
that many little tiny pieces.
Oh.
Yes,
ew.
She was going up to be bred with her foal by her side, slid at a stop sign, went underneath the partition, yanked her foot back, and broke her pastern in many, many pieces, and unfortunately she was euthanized. So
there goes lunch.
Yes. Couldn't get away from it, Glenn, sorry. But if the horse owners have seen the accidents I've seen one little 4-H stall going swiftly 20 minutes down the road, and they got run off the road by a driver that crossed the line, and the trailer flipped sideways, didn't have wraps on the pony, because they're only going 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes makes a big difference. Wrap every time you get in the trailer.
I'm always nervous to trailer my horses. Now y'all are just scaring me to pieces because I'm telling you, I am stressed, tense, 10 and 2 driver when I've got the horses in the trailer. People make fun of me for taking so long to get somewhere. It takes me 3 times as long with the horses because I drive so slow. And if anybody has ever ridden in the back of a trailer, like I rode the back of the trailer with a foal one time, you will drive very slowly after you've sat in the back and realize how hard it is to stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's a good point. Put them in the back and go across your pasture and see how well they stand.
Well, yeah, and I used to get that a lot. People would say, well, my horse loaded last week and he won't load this week. Or horse used to load according to the old owners and he loaded fine to come home, but now 3 months later I can't get him on a trailer. Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
A lot of horses who won't load because the people who drive them around toss them around the trailer like a ping pong ball.
Absolutely.
I wanted to add, too, we had a situation. Jennifer, remember this. This was quite a while ago. There was a group of pony clubbers heading to festival in Kentucky, and they put actually put shipping boots on, not wraps. They used shipping boots, but the shipping boot on the front leg was not tight enough.
Mm.
And it actually sunk down and cut off the circulation to the hoof. And by the time they got to Kentucky and noticed it, it was too late. If I remember correctly, Jennifer to remind me, I think they ended up putting the horse down. So, you know, you have to be careful that these things are done correctly as well.
Yeah, and the fit is paramount, especially ponies. They're the hardest to find shipping boots for or wraps for or certain things because they're smaller and they're not readily available. But you can find them if you go online.
Right, right. Okay, sorry about that, guys. Continue.
Not a problem. No, it's everyone. I figured we'd have a lot of stories with this show.
Yes. Like the time we were driving down the road, busiest highway ever. We had a 2-horse trailer. Fortunately, the 2-horse trailer actually had 4 tires, had 2 axles. And we look in the rearview mirror, and one of the tires is bouncing across the busy highway.
The
bearings had seized up. And by the way, check your bearings. I'm sure that's on your list here. Make sure you change the goop in your bearings every year, because let me tell you what, that bearing seizes up. It shears the axle in no time at all, and your tire will go bouncing between traffic down the road. And we were in the passing lane, like 3 or 4 lanes from the shoulder. And we had to get pulled over after losing a tire with the horses on the back. So there you go. That's our fun story.
Yeah. And we can roll right into that, Christy, if you'd like.
We can.
Classic example. I mean, one thing is make sure you have spare tires. The spare tires are pumped up. They have air. You have air in your tires. Check your tires besides the bearings. But the tires are the most infamous thing besides the floorboards that are going to go bad on your trailer. And those tires are not, what's the word I'm looking for, Glenn? You might know better. They're not required to meet certain specifications for tires for trailers. So
yes,
you know,
they don't go into the same testing that the car tires do.
As the car tires do, yeah. So you know, they so easily, they need to be replaced more readily. They rot easier, all that. So that and your floorboards, you need to get in, test those floorboards. Urine, it rots the floorboards. Enough manure will rot the floorboards. So check those out underneath your mats. You know, lift the mat up, check those floorboards, make sure they're not getting ready to crack in the middle. Make sure you have your safety chains if you're doing a bumper pull. That's paramount to have the safety chains with that because you don't want your trailer flying down the road behind you without you.
Yeah, horses don't like that much. We actually had a hitch break, too. We were driving. Fortunately, we didn't have any horses in the trailer. We were moving furniture at the time, and we had always weld our own hitches onto the bottom of the truck, and for some reason, this hit, the weld gave, let go, and the trailer stayed attached to the truck, thankfully, with the chains. We stayed attached to the truck, but the whole thing went loose underneath the truck, and that trailer was bouncing around like a ping pong ball, and that's the only thing that saved us was those chains.
Yeah, it's truly true, and I'm a big fan of throwing some shavings down underneath a horse when you're hauling on the mats because they'll urinate and the mats can get slippery with the urine. and then the little bit of shavings, you just dust it. With a little bit of shavings, it picks it up. You can even pile it in if you want to. That's just, I think, a waste of shavings. But if you dust the bottom to collect up the urine, it doesn't make it so slippery.
And you have something else on your list here, and this is a horse husband's nightmare because we're always the one in charge of fixing this, is, excuse the language, the damn lights on the trailer never work. They are always in some little wire in the middle of the trailer someplace that's broke or shorted out, and the lights never work on a trailer. They'll work great for the first 2 years you get the trailer, and then every year after that, it seems like you're fighting with the lights.
I agree, and I think the big thing is they don't water seal those lights very well. So I think it's water getting in causing most of the damage.
Yeah, we used to take the caps off the lights and the water would come out.
Yeah, it happened to me numerous times, so yeah. And the other thing that's on there is the wasp nest. If you had your trailer sitting, let's say all summer here in Florida because it's hot, you're not doing anything, you're going to start in the fall again, wasp will build a nest in there, and that's the last thing you want to have is a horse in a trailer and the wasps come out and come loose.
Yes, yep.
Oh, yeah. That's happened.
Talk about a horse
that never
wants to load again.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right. Well, I know we're running short on time, but we had a couple of things we wanted to hit real quickly about taking care of your horses during the trip, as far as whether it's better to tie them, leave their heads loose, how often to feed and water them on a long trip, things like that. Erin, could you address those?
Yeah, it's a standard, they say, to offer water every 8 hours if you're going longer than 8 hours. I'm sorry, every 4 hours, but don't go longer than 8 hours if you can manage to make some stopovers. A lot of people would just say, hey, look, I know it's a 14-hour drive and I just want to shoot it and go straight through. They do recommend that you stop it every 8 hours. It seems to be the best thing for the horse. I can appreciate those who want to get there in 14 hours. It's only 6 more hours. What's the difference? I don't want to take an extra day. Offer water every time, basically every time you fill up with gas. Offer water. Don't take them out of the trailer, please. Because even the roadside rest stop areas is just like an enlarged shoulder. It's not safe unless you are confined. Don't take them out of the trailer, please, but do offer them water. Basically, every time you stop for gas, offering hay while they go keeps them sedate. Hay is a natural tranquilizer. It really is. They love to eat it and do their grazing. It'll keep them pacified. You can do the mangers. You can do the hay bags. I just hate the hay nets. I hate those.
Amen. Amen.
As far as tying them up, they did show in the study that if you had a big stock trailer, and that's the one that they primarily recommend, that leaving them loose, they'll turn around, look, and face backwards, and they'll be perfectly comfortable doing that. But I wouldn't leave them loose if you have those metal two-horse bumper pull trailers, the metal manger there, because I have seen horses drop their nose down, you hit a stop, and they break their neck, or they have some issues of neck issues of jamming their head against that metal trailer. So definitely hook them up when they are in that position.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I had a horse that every time he was in a two horse, but it was not a bumper pull, it was a gooseneck. But if I left him loose in there, the second I put him in, I'd go around, do the back down, and he would stand with all 4 feet square and his nose down on the ground, not above the manger, where
right.
most horses would, even though there was hay. So I thought, you know, I mean, he wanted to ride like that. I don't know why. He was like an ostrich, putting your head down in the hole, you know. But I just thought, that can't be safe. I mean, what if I had to slam on the brakes and he's going to run his neck into the front? So I'm glad you mentioned that. I thought I was the only one.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have a horse in my practice that had what we call the nuchal ligament injury, where it tore away from where it attaches onto the skull, and that's the ligament that helps bring the head up and down when they're grazing in a fast motion when they get, you know, possibly attacked for their fight or flight. And there's a lot of mineralization and some soreness around the pole area because of that injury.
Well, the last thing I wanted to address was ventilation, because you see people talk about leaving all the windows open so the horses can get lots of air, shutting the windows near the horses so they don't get dirt and stuff in their eyes. You know, what do you recommend?
I hate seeing the ones that are going down the highway, we got their head hanging out the trailer. I mean, it's like a dog hanging their head out the door. There are things that are bouncing around on that highway, and they can get things in their eyes. Yeah, they're going to put a fly mask on there, but that doesn't necessarily say it's going to keep them from having any type of damage to their eyes. Please put up those little canvas or nets that they provide so they can't put their nose out the windows, but do provide them ventilation because they do need to have some ventilation as they're going down the road. Even in the cold weather, they've made them so there's ventilation at the top of the trailer. Get something so it has a flow through So that's my one pet peeve is seeing horses hanging their heads out the side of the trailer as you're going down the highway.
What about blanketing? How many times do you think a horse actually needs to be blanketed in a trailer?
It depends on the type of trailer. But show horses are all clips, so they should be blanketed if you're in the cold weather, going down at a high rate of speed. It's very chilly. You know, the wind chill's increasing or decreasing, I guess. The temperature's decreasing because of the wind chill. But it depends on the type of trailer. You can have those, even the slant loads, you can have the windows up and still open the vents that are in the very, very front or in the very top of the trailer, and that might be enough for airflow, and you may not have to blanket them or put light blankets on them. But if you're going to have open windows on the sides and allow some really good ventilation, you should probably blanket them because they are going to get chilled if they're show clipped.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. DeLu, I have a question for you, too. You're talking about hydration on a trip like that. We did a Tack and Habit episode about Hydra Horse. Have you ever heard of Hydra Horse?
Hydra Horse. Describe it.
It's the trailer watering system that you can actually install yourself in, so that they constantly have water in their stall of their trailer.
I haven't heard of that. That's interesting, though.
Yeah.
Interesting concept, because then you wouldn't have to, you know, offer it and climbing up on the trailer and getting it dumped out.
That's right. And you can actually haul it. I think it's up to like 25 or 30 gallons. And you can put it into up to a four-horse trailer where they each have their own little watering bowls. And it's set up the same as the bowls you'll see where the horse has to, you know, sort of sticks its nose in it and it refills the bowl so it's not constantly spilling.
Yeah.
And it was a cool idea. It's not cheap. If I remember right, they ran like $1,300, but it certainly solves a problem if you trailer a lot. It was Tack and Habit episode number 25. It was called Please Drink and Drive, water that is. And it was kind of a neat concept, but I haven't found anybody that's used it yet, and I didn't know if you had run into anybody.
No, I haven't. That's a very interesting concept, but I would imagine the people that are on the road showing nonstop all winter long would probably be the ones to invest in something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, you can check it out and listen to it. It's attackandhabit.com, episode number 25. Well, thank you, guys. This has been great having you on again today. What a fun conversation. We didn't talk about blood too much, which is great by me. And I'm sure next week Christy's got it planned that we're going to come back and we're going to be like doing necropsies or something. So.
I think we're going to be blood-free next week as well.
Oh, good. Phew. Okay, I can be here next week then. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Jones. Thank you, Christy. And, of course, you can find a lot more horse health information at thehorse.com. And you know, we love that you guys carry all the shows, and we thank you for that again. And Dr. Jones, where can they find out more information about you?
FloridaEquine.com, and that's Florida spelled out.
Okay, FloridaEquine.com. Thank you both. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks so much. You too. I'd just like to let everyone know, too, that we have a trailer safety checklist and a traveling legally special report on thehorse.com, maybe of interest regarding today's show.
How do they find
it? Oh, good.
They just search?
Go to thehorse.com, and under resources, we have under free reports, we have special reports and fact sheets.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay, great. That's terrific. Okay,
right.
thehorse.com. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well, that wasn't too bad today.
You're going to be able to eat.
We can go to lunch. I can go out to lunch today, boy. I'm doing good. I don't have a queasy tummy or nothing.
Yeah, next
but
week,
it is
dissection.
Next week, heart transplant. You know what's funny is I actually do watch Grey's Anatomy, and it's one of my favorite shows. But when they do the operation scenes, even though I know they're using models and I've read how they do it and everything, I still have to fast forward through that part. I just can't do it. So I'm always fast forwarding through the operation scenes. I just can't do it.
I was a huge fan of ER, and I watched it religiously. And then one time somebody walked in, they were like, I think I need a doctor. And they like, what seems to be the problem? And he turned around, and he had an axe hanging out of his skull. And I was done after that. I was like, ew, that's what grossed me out. The operation scenes were fine, but seeing that axe in his head, it was gross.
What a way to end the show today. Thank you, everybody, for... Hey, there's one thing I want to talk about yet, because I know we're not going to have time over the next couple of days. And I have a little bit, I have the recording here for you. Have you been following? It's all over the news, all over the world. I found more articles in more countries today about this commercial that the Montana Department of Transportation put out that has sparked such a controversy. It's about it's a public safety commercial, and it's a campaign they have that basically suggests that you ride a horse home after drinking as opposed to driving in your car. Apparently, Montana is the only state left where it's not illegal to drink and ride. You can drink and ride your horse. So it's probably not recommended, but it's not illegal. And they did this commercial, and I'm going to play the audio, but basically what you're going to hear is their version of it. And what it starts with is this guy in a bar, and how it ends, you're going to hear him. You're going to hear the commercial. How it ends is with him riding off down the street on his horse. And here is the commercial, the Montana ad.
No matter what you're planning, if you plan to drink, plan to have a friend get you home.
There's a horse coming down the street.
Get ride home ideas and tools at plantolive.mt.gov.
Yeah, the friend was a horse.
Yeah, what is this plan to have a friend pick you up? Okay, you've got to post that on Facebook, Glenn, because there's a horse actually walking down the street with his bridle on, with his saddle on, all tacked up, and they ride down, and you know, and then the funny part is that when people are so drunk at a bar, you know, that they would consider riding a horse home, these people all look happy and normal. We've been drinking at a bar. Now we're going to ride home. Like, it looks too clean. You know it would never look like that in real life, ever.
No. There was no other cars on the street, you know. It was just empty.
Yeah.
But this is causing quite a controversy. I was reading an article out of Australia and England, and they're all talking about how in America they're encouraging you to drink and ride your horses. And it was just, I mean, they've really taken this and run with it. And I'm sure that the Montana Department of Transportation wishes they had never put this ad out.
Oh, without a doubt. But now they're going to have to make it illegal to ride horses in Montana drunk, because they can't. They brought it to light, and now they can't get away from it.
That's right. That's right. And I know the first comment you said is, he wasn't even wearing a helmet.
I did say that too. First of all, you're drunk riding, and then you're going to go home without putting a helmet on. Hello, dumb.
So that was my tidbit for the day that I found that I thought. There were about 45 rescue stories, and most of them were out of England again. I don't know what it is over there, and we know we have a lot of listeners in England, but boy, oh boy, your horses need rescued a lot. And I thought it was evidence of that when one of the horses, a Percheron, a big Percheron, fell in water, and they had the equine water rescue team called out. And I thought, you know you have a problem when you actually have an equine water rescue team.
How many times are you having to rescue horses out of water? Good Lord.
So, anyway, that was all my news for the day. Stay tuned tomorrow. Jennifer is so excited about tomorrow, and we are too. We're going to be talking about doggies tomorrow. We're going to the dogs tomorrow on Horses in the Morning. We have a whole bunch of different guests lined up. Jennifer is working overtime on this show, and the guests also include who, Jennifer?
Victoria Stillwell. It's Mir the Dog.
It's Mir the Dog, and Victoria will be visiting Jamie's house very shortly. We also have something our heart goes out to. We have the Greyhound folks on, talking about how rescuing Greyhounds, just like you rescue thoroughbreds, how rescuing greyhounds from the track, and how they actually make terrific pets. And we owned one for 13 years, and we would agree with that. We had our greyhound at the farm, and she was great around all other animals and horses and everything. So we're going to talk about that. And you also have another guest, and his name is Chris Walkowitz, right?
Her, yes. She's the gal who wrote the Choosing a Dog for Dummies. She's an AKC judge, and you know, very highly respected in the registered dog biz in the show world. So she's going to chit-chat a little bit about figuring out whether or not you should have a dog. Are you a dog person? Pitfalls of buying dogs, how to choose a good breeder, things to look for, which is a little late for Jamie. So too late. But she should be a lot of fun. And she also is a little bit of a horse fan. So there's going to be a horse connection with that one, too. A certain famous horse that all of us are really into. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Okay, cool. Well, this sounds like a fun show. Going to the dogs tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning. Should we rename it tomorrow to Dogs in the Morning, to Canines in the Morning, or something like that?
Different show. We're going to start that show next year.
That's going to be a whole other show on the Dog Radio Network. So, Glenn, I just emailed you a photo of my puppies for the first hour of the show, and they are clearly not like this anymore, as they are now attacking my jacket that was hanging on the back of my chair. So just to give you an idea, they were good for the first hour of the show. Now they're out of control. So I just sent you that picture, so post it on Facebook.
All right, I will do. And something else from Facebook, thank you, everybody, for posting today. We had a comment. I posted the castle thing, and I had put up there a link to the castle Glenn wants a listener to buy for him. And Karen had a terrific idea, and she posted, well, it would only take $1 from 449,000 listeners to accomplish that. So, the only problem I've got with that is we don't really have 449,000 listeners. So I'll have to divide it out.
Short.
And yeah, I'm going to come up a little short of our $449,000 goal.
Glenn, we could rent it for a weekend with our listeners giving a dollar.
There we go.
That's true. We could rent it out. We could have it as the Horse Radio Network Retreat. And we could rent it out, and that would be cool. We'd have to charge $2, though.
You're a big idea guy. I love it. I'm telling you, with all the trips you have planned for us for the next year, we're never going to be home.
And they start next week. So let's hang up here, and let's get to doing other stuff today. Everybody, you have a great horse day. Don't forget you can follow all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com.
Obviously, if you listen to you missed the live show and you're not listening to us right now at this very second, you're listening to the recorded version, or you want to listen to it later, you can go to our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss one. Dog Day is tomorrow. I'm so excited. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great day and ride safely and wear your helmet.